Okay, hello everybody. How are you guys doing? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex of DonkeyJawProjects.com. And this is episode 73 of the Escape Artist podcast. Extract, well, let's see, the title is called Extract from the Act. So why am I doing it through a Google Hangouts today is the question. Well, because I've already recorded this podcast once. So I'm like, and basically I lost it. So it's like, oh great, this is fun. So I figured, let me just do a Google Hangouts, and then that way I won't have to upload it to YouTube, because usually I record these while driving, and then upload it later, and then I have to upload it to YouTube. So at least I'm taking one of the steps out, since I lost time by recording it once and now I have to record it again. Let me make up some of that time, through doing a Google Hangout version. And the thoughts will be a little more concise, I think, because I've already done this once. And I actually have, like, now I have some of the links and the names that I was forgetting when I first recorded it. And plus, you get to see me do a little preparation work for one of my paintings, or maybe two, depending on how far I get. So basically, if you're not, watching the video, you won't see this, but I can explain it. It's very simple. It's not like I'm doing something amazing here or anything. So it's not like you're missing out on anything if you're just listening to the audio only. But basically, what I have here is I have two pieces of art photocopied. Right now, I'm working on one at a time, but preparing to transfer these pieces of art onto a painting, canvas board. And what I have here, the first one is a commission, something I commissioned. And even if you're watching the video, you probably can't see it that well because, Google Hangouts quality is leaves much to be desired. And plus, I don't have the greatest camera. But what you're seeing here is a commission, and this is just a photocopy version. I'll put pictures up on the blog post for the episode. But this is a commission. I commissioned Jonathan Rector of, I think, jonathanrector.com, but he's very active on YouTube, and I think he's got a Picardo live stream. It used to be just regular live stream of some sort. But he's just an awesome artist, one of those guys you're like, why aren't you doing mainstream comics right now? Because you're freaking awesome and amazing. And so I got him to do this piece of my character Glyph, and my other character basically Glyph's arch nemesis Tusk, who's he's basically like a kingpin character. So he did this piece in pencil and ink. And I transferred it over to photocopy paper, asked him if, permission if I could paint his piece. So, and then once I paint it, I'll take these inks and I'll throw them over the top of the painting for like one cool print piece, I guess, which, I don't know. I might ask him if I could sell it or something. I don't know. But it's not even for that purpose. I just want to have something cool to paint. And maybe I can put it as a pinup. I mean, whatever I use it for, I'm gonna have to ask permission for or whatever. But we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. But basically, I just wanted something cool to paint, and what better than an awesome piece of art that is even better than how I can draw my own characters. So yeah, and then the other piece that I'm gonna be working on is actually pretty apropos to this podcast. This is the art. I just did this for fun one day, but this is basically the art, another photocopy of this is that art that's actually the cover for the Escape Artist podcast with my character Glyph again, running away from my other character Squid Skilla, who I did a toy for Squid Skilla, like I did a resin casting and all that stuff about a year or so ago, and it came out really cool. But I don't know, this kind of was just a piece I did randomly one day, and it's become a really cool piece, and it's perfect for, you know, the theme of escape artist, because you got a character with a spray can. He's an artist, and he's escaping from a monster, which is Squid Skilla, who's also a spray can, incidentally. Yes, if you don't know Squid Skilla, he's basically like a squid slash octopus type of monster that's also a spray can. So it's just a kind of crazy, twisted type of version of something that I think is cool. So that I'll be trying to paint as well, and transfer. So basically what I have right here is the photocopies underneath, and then I have transparent paper, tracing paper, on top of it, taped down. And I'm just going to go over. This was, I think Eddie Crosby told me. It was either Eddie Crosby or Jay Ferguson who told me this is a good way to transfer art onto a canvas piece or whatever. So you trace it, and then you trace it again on the other side, and then you can trace again on the canvas board, and the graphite or whatever. Yeah, the graphite will transfer over to the canvas that way. So I'm going to try it. This is the first time I'm trying it, and we'll see how it works. So that's what I'm going to be doing while I'm talking to you about the topic I have today. So let me take a sip of my coffee. Get that energy going. It is, let's see, what time is it? Oh, wow, it's already noon. But I went to bed really late, and I, you know, woke up a little late, 9:30, which is late for me, I guess. But, yeah, so what I'm doing now is I'll be tracing over this while we're talking, and I already said it, I think, but the topic for today is called Extract from the Act. And basically what spurred this was a lot of things, really. Now comes the task of trying to draw and talk at the same time. But that's why I figured this project would be an easy one, because I'm just tracing, so I should be able to do this and still think about what I'm talking about. So basically, I've been struggling a little bit with like artist block and stuff, especially with these paintings. You know, I'm doing the 100 days of painting, making paintings. And so I've been struggling with what should I paint? And it's kind of like not a lack of ideas so much as just like a lack of decisiveness, being able to decide. I've never been so great at that. And I try to get better. I try to become more decisive, but it's tough. So I kind of put it out there to some friends, especially my buddy Mike Vallad, because me and him talk back and forth all the time. Just about, you know, how I've been struggling. And then, you know, just me and him, he's from, his website is VladComics.com. I think I'm going to just put his link in the description and just leave it there, because I'm noticing most of my podcasts tend to be something that kind of came from something me and him were talking about. So, which is cool. trying to figure out how much detail I should actually put in. I might just put all the detail in. Not that I'll have that on the actual transfer, but the reason why is because you can actually learn a lot from drawing over the top of artists you're into. So why not, right? So anyways, so, and I gotta remember to put him in the show notes too. I'm gonna have a lot of links in this one. Okay, Jonathan Rector. Wrote it down. So, you know, having a hard time with this artist block stuff. And you know, I kind of got some victory, and a lot of that was through sharing videos and things and just kind of checking stuff out. Probably the first one I'll say that helped me out a lot was, and a lot of this stuff is stuff I already know, but you kind of have to be reminded, you know, sometimes on a daily basis. So and that kind of goes pretty well with what I talked about last week on the podcast. But basically, the first video that really kind of got me going was a video from LaCree Fine Art, Lisa from LaCree, on YouTube. And I love her videos. She always has a lot of good help and inspiration for artists. Really good stuff. And she's an awesome artist herself, a painter. And so she had one recently on artist block, actually, on getting through that and stuff and dealing with that. And I guess her thing was like the basis of what helped me out. But there was a bunch of confirmations along the way afterwards. So I'll talk about hers first. Basically, in her video, she was kind of talking about the idea of just, you know, when you're done with an awesome painting, you're like all excited and you're like, oh man, this is so cool. I'm like on fire. You know, I'm going to go and do the next painting and it's going to be just as awesome. And then what happens is you have a hard time even being inspired to do something and you're not sure what you should do. And now you have to kind of live up to that. So you're like, crap, you know, what am I going to paint? And then you can easily get into this kind of artist block of like, you know, not wanting to do anything because now everything's becoming too precious again, you know. So it's kind of crazy. So basically what her advice was is if you're running into that or something like that, draw anything or, you know, paint anything, make anything, you know, don't even, cause I was having a hard time with subject matter. Like, what am I going to paint? Like I have a lot of ideas, but what can I just, I can't decide on anything. And meanwhile, I'm like procrastinating, blah, blah, blah. And, so it was like, well, you got to just get that pencil moving, you know. You got to just make it happen. So do anything, like find a piece of reference and freaking draw it or paint it or whatever. And I know that's simple and not maybe super profound, but it's true because the thing is, and this is where extract from the act comes in. You know, inspiration kind of builds off of what you're doing already. So it's not necessarily, you know, a thing that like a lightning bolt from the sky. So you know, I think we get addicted to that though, you know. I think we have like we get these times of inspiration and, you know, we get super excited and we blow out some really cool work. And then we just like we've had that before, so we want that again. And it's rough, you know, to try to get that again. Like you can't just like turn that on and off. So we think that's how we should create, but it's not, you know, we need to just create whether we're feeling it or not, basically. So I think it's almost like a drug, you know, that it's like almost bad to have that inspiration time because you're not always going to have those moments. In fact, those are kind of few and far between compared to the moments where it's just like, I don't know, sometimes, I mean, you can still enjoy a lot of your work and you know, not have those moments, but then there's just those mountaintop experiences, and you just got to take that for what it is. It's just that. It's just happens to be kind of like a crescendo of the wave or whatever. And let that be that, but you know, let also be okay and learn to be happy, content, energized, etc. By the times when you're just doing the work that you like, you know, you're just doing art. And she was saying, you know, I don't have time. Like, this is my career, is doing this art and doing these videos and stuff. I don't have time to stop. So I have to make something. So she said, you know, that's what happened with her. She made this really awesome piece. She loved it. She's like, oh, this is so cool. And she wasn't feeling so inspired, but she ended up making like four or five other paintings that came out pretty good. And even one of them was her best painting she's ever done of a horse or whatever, you know. So it was like a lot of good came out of it, and she was very productive, regardless of how she felt and how inspired, you know, she felt. So you just gotta push through, right? Artist block, you know. If you want to be somebody who's like me, like, not if you want to be like me, but if you have the similar goals as I have, which my goal is to make a living off of this and to become a professional, you know, I'm not really operating like a professional quite yet because these things still trip me up. I mean, they still trip up professionals too at times, but you know, a professional pushes through it, does the work, and gets things done still, no matter what, and gets things done on time. You know, these are marks of a true professional, in my opinion. Sometimes it doesn't always work out that way, but that's, you know, what you're shooting for. And if you want to have any success, you have to pretty much do that pretty well for the most part, you know? So that's what I want to be. I'm not shooting to be an artist just to be a hobbyist, you know, which is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do. But I've tried to be a professional with hobbyist habits for too long. You know what I mean? I need to start getting those professional habits going on, and that's what I've been working on. So this is a big part of it. You know, later on that week or whatever, it's been maybe like a 2 week process, I guess. Maybe one or 2 weeks so far. But I also watched this video by Steven Silver, which is a new guy I haven't heard of until recently. He's not new, he's been around for a while, I guess. So, and it's funny because Will Ferrell, in his latest video, talks about his is all about him going to a workshop, one of Steven Silver's workshops, which I was like, wow, so crazy that I'm just finding out about this guy now, and he's been somebody who, you know, has been around for a long time doing videos and all that. So I was really inspired by a video he did, which I think, because I was just looking through the links to make sure, but I'm not 100% sure, but he does these videos called Art Talk. And so Art Talk 13, I think, is the one where he was talking about a bunch of different stuff. That it's actually titled The Art of Being Happy or something like that. But I'm not sure if that's the one or not, but I think it is, because it's, I was looking through the history of stuff I've watched. But you know, it was another good one, and it was kind of like a lot of random art thoughts, but very interesting, a vlog type thing. And I really dug it. And there was, again, there was a lot of things I kind of already knew, but you just need to be reminded of these things, you know, even if you already know them, you know, it's encouraging to have that kind of confirmation and stuff like that. So, again, he was talking about people who get, you know, when you get in these artist blocks and stuff. And, you know, he just basically said, force yourself, you know, you got to force yourself to make art. You have to make so much art to get good, you know, and to gain mastery, you know, you can't stop. So, like, you know, and that's about it from that video. I mean, there was stuff that I liked, but, you know, that was the big takeaway I got mostly from that one. And, you know, so with these paintings and things, I just have to make decisions whether it's something I'm 100% inspired by or not. And I just need to make stuff. And eventually I'll get to the more inspired stuff. And one thing I was thinking too after I recorded the first initial podcast is, you don't need to be inspired. Your art needs to be inspired. You know what I mean? So you want your, I mean, and that's not even, you know, you can also make crappy art that's not inspired. You got to do that anyways to get through to the good ones. But your goal should be more that your art, it's almost like a little more selfless way of looking at it. You know, it's not about your emotional state. It's about getting that art to that state, you know? And the stuff that does look awesome and that does sell is stuff that looks what I call inspired, you know, but it doesn't necessarily, there's definitely times I've heard of people who have done certain acts or whatever and said, you know, they really weren't feeling it, but then they also, while they were doing it in the performance or whatever it is, you know, people were super inspired and helped, you know, and encouraged, but they maybe just felt like they were having an off day, but they were acting as a professional and still doing what they knew was right and what they've learned and talking from their heart, just they weren't feeling it that day or whatever. Or, you know, I've heard that from speakers and stuff, but, you know, it can also be with any kind of creative thing or art or whatever. So, and it's like, you know, it's that working as a professional. And, you know, how many times have you put out a piece of art or something and not necessarily been 100% into it? You know, artists love, you know, the classic thing is artists will say, well, it's not my best work. Well, then show me your best work, that type of thing. But how many times have you, you know, put something out there and especially people who aren't artists, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. You're so amazing. I can't believe you can do that. I could never do that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's really nice that they say that stuff, but you know, it's like that you might not have liked that so much, but to that, to other people, they really dig it, you know? So it's all about just doing the thing, that thing, you know, that you're good at, and whether or not you feel the feelings. And you can't let inspiration be your motivation. You just can't, because you're not going to be inspired all the time. You're just not. And even if you are inspired, is it going to be during the right times? I mean, so many times I've been super inspired and there's no way I could even try to do any art or anything right now because I'm like driving or like doing, you know, I'm at my job, my 9-to-5 or something, you know, it's just impossible. There's the, you know, it always comes at the wrong time, or it's like right before I have to go to bed, or you know, while I'm in the shower or something like that. You know, it never comes at the good times. You know, it always comes at inconvenient times, and or when I don't have pen and paper, whatever. So it's like you can't depend on that. That's way too fickle. You know, you just have to make it happen when you have the time, and you have to force yourself to do what you already can do. And so my experience this week with that, trying to practice what I preach or practice what I'm learning, is has been pretty good. So the other night, you know, I was hanging out with my family and stuff, and you know, we were, you know, just hanging out doing family stuff. And then, you know, the baby went to bed and everything, and we were gonna, you know, what happens is they usually watch some shows, and then I'll maybe go over into the other room and do a little sketching or something or whatever, try to work on something. And because a lot of times they'll watch stuff that either I've already watched, or maybe it's something I'm not that into. And I'd sit with them, but they keep the lights off. But so I need light, obviously, to make art. You know, so I was kind of, it was really late, and I only had like maybe an hour and a half or something to do some art. But, and I was kind of really tired. I didn't really feel like drawing, but I'm like, you know, I gotta make myself do art. You know, I had already sketched that day, but I wanted to do some more. You know, I don't have a lot of opportunities to do a lot of sketching, and I'm trying to fill sketchbooks every month, you know, one sketchbook a month, and you know, just trying to get that mileage so I can master this craft, you know. And so I was like, all right, well, what am I gonna draw? And I did waste a little time, you know, on Facebook and stuff trying to figure out what I was going to draw. But previously in that day, I had looked through like Pinterest and stuff, and I've been really enjoying my, I've been on Pinterest before, but now I'm just finally like really starting to get into it. And I've been making a lot of boards of like reference stuff and things that I would like to paint or draw, you know. So one of the ideas, and this goes to my friend Dee Dee, I'll put her link to Dee Dee Willingham. She's been hitting me up with some encouragement, you know, watching my videos and really realizing I need help or whatever. She's been hitting me up with some ideas and stuff. One of her ideas was to have an idea sketchbook that's just focused specifically on that. And then that way, you know, you don't have to worry about forgetting it, the ideas you have. And you can, you know, whenever you're not sure what to draw, you can just kind of go to that, which I've kind of done versions of that before, but I'm like, what the heck? Let me give it a try again. And so at that point, I hadn't created the sketchbook yet. I had to go grab one or whatever. I hadn't had one yet. And but I did start writing down some notes at least. So, I wrote down, I took out my little paper where I wrote the notes. And one of the things, there's a bunch of things, it's just like random stuff I want to paint or draw. And I noticed too that, especially, I always think of Ryan Wheaton a lot because I watch his stuff, I follow his stuff a lot. But, you know, I noticed that some artists, you know, the ones that show like all their like random sketchings, and sometimes they show stuff that they're not like going to be selling or anything, but it's just practice type stuff. And I like those. I love following artists who do that. And he does that. And I noticed that he draws and paints. Some like he does a lot of really interesting imaginative stuff, but he also there's a few things that he does all the time. Like he'll always he does a lot of skulls. Like it's like his go-to thing. He has a couple things. Like he'll do self-portrait stuff, he'll do skulls, and I think there's a couple other things, but I was like, you know what? This is actually a good thing because, you know, when I don't know what to draw, I should have some kind of default thing so I'm at least working on my craft. And so I was thinking about that stuff, and you know, I have this character Tusk, so I want to be able to draw elephants more. And I just really like elephants. They're cool, like creatures. I don't know. They're cool. That's why I made a character of one. So, you know, I was like, all right, well, I want to do more elephant stuff and play around with that. So I just wrote that down. I wrote elephants down. Also, I wrote gas masks down because obviously my character has a gas mask because he's a spray paint, a graffiti artist. So there's that. Plus, I just like there's a lot of old like vintage pictures and just all kinds of imaginative stuff with people with gas masks. And I don't know, I just think it's cool. Like it looks weird, it looks creepy, it looks interesting. It's got kind of that post-apocalyptic thing going on because it's like, you know, people would obviously wear that if there was some chemical warfare stuff going on. So I don't know. Not that chemical warfare and war is cool, but in the fantasy realm, it is, in my opinion. So, and it's the type of stuff I like to write, draw, etc. So, you know, gas masks are on there. And I don't know, we'll see what else, but those might be some of my go-to things to draw. I also like I did a gesture drawing last night, and I really like really dynamic like poses and action type things. So that's part of what I like. So anyways, so I was sitting there and I'm like, I don't know what to draw. Kind of wasted a little time on Facebook, but I'm like, no, I have an hour left, a little less than an hour. I got to draw something. So I just literally went to my little Pinterest thing where I already gathered some pictures of stuff that might be good reference. And it was all these elephants and stuff. And I just kind of picked one, you know. I tried not to spend too much time picking stuff. And that's the thing, like a lot of times I'm just constantly looking for that inspiration and it takes forever. And by the time I finally get the inspiration, now I'm too tired and it's too late, you know? And it's like I don't need to be looking for inspiration. I need to just be drawing and being inspired by what I'm drawing, type of thing. Extract from the act. So, you know, that's what I was doing. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna draw. And I did this elephant drawing, and I started off with the first elephant. I'm like, I'm just because there's two elephants in like a jungle type area, I guess, like on a road actually. But it was like a dirt road. But you know, I'm like, I'm just gonna draw this one elephant or whatever, you know, sketch it out, enjoy the process of just drawing. And so I did that, and when I was done, and I just did it in like colored pencil. I wasn't like trying to make a finished drawing, just doing a study. And I did that, came out pretty cool. So I still had some time left. So I'm like, oh, let me see if I can get this other elephant partially in there at least. So I did that. That came out pretty cool. And he was done. And I'm like, oh, wow, I still have a little more time. So, like, let me do the environment. So I ended up doing like the whole reference picture, and it was it's like one of my better like sketches in my sketchbook. So that's cool. Like I made something cool and I wasn't really feeling it. I was too tired, you know, but I ended up making something cool and I enjoyed it and I felt accomplished after I was sitting there, you know, instead of just sitting there the whole time and just end up not drawing, you know, which happens, you know. And now I have that thing in there, that might actually become a painting, or part of a painting, you know? So who knows? We'll see how that all works out. But, you know, it's like, if I hadn't just made myself do the work, then I wouldn't have, you know, done that. And I don't know. And that could happen with finished pieces as well. It's just that one happened to be just more on the sketch side. So the point is that I made myself do art, and it happened, and it was good. So extract from the act. Instead of extract from wasting time trying to get inspiration. Another thing that kind of confirmed that whole idea was this audiobook thing that I was listening to that my buddy Mike Vlad turned me on to. And it's called Think, : Once You Think It, Ink It. And the ink is spelled INC, you know, like incorporated. It's kind of like a businessy type of thing. Not so much an art thing, but it's kind of cool. And it's made by this guy named Great Scott. That's what he like calls himself or whatever. And the reason why he explains in the audiobook, it's not really like a I'm an awesome person type of thing. It has more to do with his past and stuff. So that is interesting as well. But regardless, you know, I didn't finish it, but I listened to like a good hour of it or something. I think I was actually listening to it. Yeah, I was listening to it while I was doing the elephant painting, actually, or drawing. So, I got somebody calling me right now, but I can't pick it up. I got stuff to do. I'm doing stuff. I'm busy. So that Think It thing was cool, and I didn't finish it, still got to finish it, but, basically it was more in a business type of thing, and it was really cool because he had a lot of references to hip hop artists, because I guess he must be into hip hop and stuff, and, you know, using them as examples of people, you know, certain ones that are more into the business or whatever, as some people who are inspiring to him or whatever. And that was cool because it's stuff, you know, I'm familiar with because I'm obviously into hip hop and stuff. And I make it and all that. You know, he had a lot of interesting things to say. Some stuff I'm not 100% sure about. Some stuff it's very much right up my alley, stuff I've already thought about. And one of the things he was talking about, or he had this one quote, and it says, if you approach your dreams casually, you'll become a casualty. And it wasn't his quote. He was quoting somebody or whatever. But I was like, yeah, that's a good one. You know, I know it's maybe a little cheesy or whatever, but it's true. You know, I want to pursue all this stuff. No, I don't want to pursue it casually anymore. I'm pursuing it to do it, to really be serious. You know, I'm just tired of living kind of, at least career-wise, almost like a meaningless type of work and stuff, you know. I mean, it's not meaningless in the grand scheme of things necessarily, but it's kind of meaningless to me. Like, I have no passion or desire for what I'm doing. It's manual labor for the most part. I think that I'd be more effective and helpful in the world if I was doing something that I actually, you know, have some kind of propensity for, I guess, which I don't even know if I know what that means, but I know it's been used that way. But that I have like a talent for, or a passion for, you know, I'm kind of bent towards that or whatever. It's something that I'm somewhat good at, or at least I have a good potential to be, you know, good at, and people have said I'm good at it, even though I, you know, look at my stuff compared to a lot of my friends, a lot of you guys who listen to this, and I don't feel like I'm all that good at it compared to you guys, but that's neither here nor there. That's a whole different topic. But I do agree, you know, I it's something that I definitely have potential that I can, you know, make work, I think, and where I can be more effective than, you know, just doing manual labor work, which I'm not really good at, you know. I mean, I'm as good as anybody, I guess, but some people are actually good at that, you know. Like, there's people I work with who are definitely better than me, you know, at that kind of thing. So you know, leave that to those people. And they actually can have more joy at work. Like, they're okay with doing that kind of thing. I'm not, though. It is just, I hate it. I mean, I don't hate it. Like, I enjoy my work enough, you know, where I'm not miserable, but, and I like the people I work with and stuff, but it's not what I shouldn't be doing that. I should be doing something that I'm good at, you know, like I've been saying. So, and another thing that they brought up on this podcast was just kind of that, you know, they were actually saying they had some stuff they were talking about almost against, you know, going for your dreams, you know, because some people have these pie in the sky ideas of dreams and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with, you know, what they're good at. Like, people want to be famous rap stars or whatever. And it's like, maybe they're not even that good at that. You know, like, I love to make hip hop and stuff, and it's something I enjoy. And I did try to kind of make it a living type of thing, but I got barely anywhere. And a big part of that is I'm not, you know, I consider myself somebody who likes to be in the studio, and I probably could make a living off of being a producer or something, but being a rapper, not so much, even though I love it and will always do it. I consider myself like kind of a studio rapper, a lyricist, because I like to create rhymes and I like to record and I like to write songs and stuff like that. But I don't really have a great talent for doing live shows. I can do it. I can function in it and I can, you know, kind of pass for okay. But it, you know, I'm no like KRS-One or something like that, who to me is like a master at it, and he was like made to be on stage type of thing. So, you know, they were saying like, don't follow your dreams necessarily, follow what you're good at, you know, because sometimes your dreams don't match up with your ability. And I think there's some wisdom in that. And the thing that I get much more response from than my music sometimes is I really don't get hardly any response a lot of times from my music. My beats I do, but not my raps, even though I know I'm really good. Like, I'm good at it. Like, if there's, that's probably my best skill. Like, I've written so many raps, and I mean, people like them and stuff, but it's like, for some reason, it doesn't come across in the performance as much as well as it does with other people. So they say stick with what you're good at, you know, that's a good indication of what you should be doing. And then work on that. It's going to take a lot of hard work to master whatever it is you're good at. But focus on that, you know, instead of focusing on your dreams type of thing. You know, let that kind of guide your dreams, I guess, is kind of the point. So, you know, that's, I like that, you know, and there was a lot of other good things in that audiobook. So I'm going to keep, you know, listening to it and see what else he has to say. So yeah, that's kind of what I've been kind of feeling, and it's been working out so far, you know. Trying to think of how if there's much more to that, but you know, this idea of extracting from the act, getting your inspiration from actually doing stuff, you know, don't spend, try not to spend all your time preparing to do stuff, you know. I get into that trap even with the painting, you know. I was doing the YouTube videos and you know, I was doing the 100 days of painting, which I'm still doing, but you know, I was kind of like there would be days where I would just like gesso a bunch of palettes. I mean, I keep wanting to say palettes, canvases, and you know, doing a lot of prep work, getting together reference, and it was like, no, that's not what you need to be doing. I mean, you do have to obviously do that, but that's not, that can't be counted to your 30 minutes or more of making paintings. You need to, I made a decision where I'm like, no, I'm gonna be my 30 minutes, I have to actually spend putting paint on a surface. You know, that's gonna be what's gonna, and this other stuff, yeah, I have to do it too, but it's like I'm doing more wasting time. It's like my 100 days of paintings is gonna be more 100, you know, 75 days of like preparing to paint, and then you know, 25% days, you know, 25 days of actually painting, you know, and then I won't really get anything done, and it just kind of defeats the purpose. So, you know, I was just like, you know, I gotta switch that up, and so that I have. And so another aspect of all this is you build the way like inspired pieces of art get created, and a good example of this is like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is they it's off of other ideas, like it's kind of building off of from one idea to the next type of thing. So like with Ninja Turtles, like they would kind of pass art back and forth, Eastman and Laird, and you know, they were creating these characters, and they're like, oh, you know, this would be funny if there was a character like this. And it's like, well, what if you took this character and did this with it? And then, you know, it just kept going back and forth, and they came up with a lot of goofy, awesome characters. And, you know, obviously it became a super hit, you know. But it wasn't like, okay, the first idea is amazing and go with that, which is what I tend to actually do a lot. You know, I don't spend time like developing stuff as much sometimes, and I think my creativity and my art has suffered for it, you know, but it's okay, like you got to start somewhere. A lot of times though, it's like this kind of dance of, you know, well, what if you know, this character did this or whatever. And this is with storytelling too. It's like this constant like question, what if this, what if that, what if this, what if that? And eventually you come to like some pretty concrete, cool ideas. And that's how a lot of times inspiration or inspired work is created. You know, and it's usually like something that's kind of funny, or like, oh, it'd be funny if this happened or whatever. And then you're like, wow, that's actually a pretty good idea. And or sometimes you just do something and you don't know if it's a great idea, but it comes from that. And then like a lot of times people, I think they create comics even sometimes, and they're like, okay, I'm just kind of putting it out. And then they start to see what people did like, and then they kind of build off of that, and they enjoy that process, you know. So good art kind of builds off of itself. Like it builds off of one thing from the next thing, and that's where you kind of get your ideas, is from putting in that work in your sketchbook especially. You know, you create a bunch of crazy things. Some of it is not that great, and some of it turns out to be a good idea. So, but you're never going to get those inspired moments if you're not actually doing the work. So you got to extract from the act once again. And I'm just repeating it because I think it's kind of a good little catchphrase thing or whatever. You know, we got to keep, it's good to have like those kind of weird catchphrase-y things sometimes because it helps you to remember, you know, principles. You know, I think stupid helpy tips are awesome, which is a term that it's kind of coined by Rob Stenzinger and Jersey Joe's from Lean Into Art, but they stopped saying it, but I still like it. But stupid helpy tips aren't necessarily all that stupid. I think they're good and they're helpful. It's a function, you know, that just helps remember stuff. So anyways, that tangent aside, you know, this stuff builds on itself and it's like self-perpetuating. So I don't know, I guess that's it, guys. I just wanted to talk about this topic of extracting from the act and moving forward regardless of feeling, you know. And it's something that, and another thing that's helped me, you know, with this artist block stuff is having a lot of things on different burners, you know, having projects I can jump back and forth with, just having multiple painting projects going at once, which I need to, I'm kind of, you know, I need to get some more going, actually. I mean, I kind of have a bunch going, and that's kind of what I'm doing here is getting this one going. This piece and the other piece I showed you, these glyph pieces are bigger pieces that are going to take more refinement. So they're going to take more time. So I want to have a bunch of different things that do take a lot of time on my plate so that when I come to these points where I'm like, I'm not sure what I want to work on, I just grab one of them and go, you know, and start chipping away at them. So, you know, it's good to have, I think it's good to have a range of projects, like long-term and short-term. I like to have you know, I love having projects that I can literally sit down, start and finish all in one sitting. I mean, that's what I love doing, but I get into the trap where that's all I do, you know, that's kind of my form, my mode of creating, and I end up rushing things sometimes and creating lesser works because I'm not spending the proper time on them. And I want to stop doing that. You know, a big part of being a professional is having, you know, quality work and, you know, stuff that you do take the proper time to refine and bring to a better finish, you know. So I'm looking to do that more, you know, and not take shortcuts, you know, on some of the processes and enjoy each process as I go for what it is. Like with comics, there's so many different processes. And a lot of times with my comics, you know, and you can tell by looking at them and people enjoy them, you know, but they need more depth if I want to really make it more substantial, but people do enjoy them. People have bought the comics and liked them. How much better would they be, you know, if I took some more time? Like a lot of times the writing, thumbnails, stage and all that stuff is just kind of like one piece of paper. I wrote a few things down, maybe did a few thumbnails, but for the most part, I just go right to the page and try to get it done. And part of that, there was a reason why I did that, was because there's too many hangups. Like if you're going to get hung up, there's just so many opportunities to get hung up on different parts of the process. So that was kind of my way of like, I'm going to just get something done because I need to, it's good to practice finishing stuff and not trying to be a perfectionist. And that's kind of why my approach was like that. Plus, you know, I think of the examples of people like Kirby back in the days and like just other artists who just, you know, pushed out page after page, like super quick, But, you know, that was after years and years of working on stuff. And, you know, they, you know, already got good. So now they were just fast at it and stuff. And, you know, I'm not that person yet. So I need to take more time sometimes. So next time I do a comic, I'm gonna like actually take time writing the script out, you know, and then I'll take time doing maybe a few iterations of thumbnails and things. And you know, Kevin Cross's process is crazy. Like he has like rough pencils, then he goes into like more refined pencils, and then he goes into like more refined pencils. I don't know, he's got like multiple penciling layers, and then eventually he goes to inks, and it's like to me, like that first pencils was like better than I can do. So I'm like, oh, you know, it's inspiring and discouraging all at the same time. So it is what it is, but I love seeing that, and that has caused me to think, you know, maybe I need to put more effort into what I'm doing. And you know, no wonder I'm not making a living doing this if I'm not putting in the proper time, you know, that I need to do. So regardless, from now on, my comic projects, you know, I've done the quick and fast, quick and dirty, you know, now I have to work on the quality, and then maybe eventually I can get back to going faster, you know, but right now I really need to work on quality with everything I do. And that's kind of part of why I'm doing the painting thing, you know, it's like this is smaller projects. Comic projects are huge. Like even if they're small, they're still huge. You know, there's just so much you have to think about and do. This is a lot less overwhelming. You know, it's like one image at a time that I'm working on, and I'm just working on the details and spending time on whatever, you know. But it's not as involved as a comic, and it's a good way to kind of work out some of those issues maybe I have with like perspective or designing a set or, you know, figure drawing and you know, gesture. And you know, I get to focus on just the art side of things more and the concepts, and I don't have to worry about trying to tell a story that's clear and exciting, you know, and all that kind of thing. So you know, I think this is a good step for me to get better at comics as well. And you know, it's all about just doing the work and just working hard and enjoying the process at this point. And you know, we'll see what comes of it. You know, I can't get anywhere though without working hard. So I might as well work hard on what I'm good at, you know. So I guess that's about it, guys. I don't know how long this is. I think it might be a little longer than I expected, but that's cool. Usually sometimes I talk for like 2.5 hours. It's crazy, and just time goes by, but I don't think that happened this time. No, it's been more like an hour, I think. So cool, but hopefully you guys got something from this. Hopefully you enjoyed watching me trace some art from the awesome Jonathan Rechter. Again, all these links will be in the show notes. Yeah, you guys are awesome, and I will talk to you if you don't see me on my videos, because I'll have like a few videos coming out this week. If you don't see me on those, then you'll see me on the next Escape Artist podcast. Thanks for watching, guys. Peace out.